Welcome back to Game of Thrones Weekly here at AfterBuzz TV. I'm your host, Ryan Malady, and this is Littlefinger, the Peter Baelish story. Coming right up.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Don't you just love that theme song? I tell you what, I never get tired of it. Hello again, everybody. I'm Ryan Malady, joined by a special guest today, Ross Rago.
That's me.
That's him. We're buddies, and we both have something in common. We find that Lord Peter Baelish is the best character on Game of Thrones, and whether you agree with us or not, you might be on our side by the end of this episode, because we got a lot to talk about. We're talking about the life, the mistrial, the death.
The man was wronged.
Of the, would you dub him as?
The pimp that was promised.
The pimp that was promised.
Forget
he is
high.
Lord Peter Baelish.
He is
the purveyor of beauty and discretion. He is the master of coin. The
He's
master of whispers. He's a freaking genius.
The
what more can be said?
Of all time.
Plenty. So, you know, sit tight, buckle up. We're here to talk about our favorite character with a little bit of character theory, a little character breakdown, talk about his arc from life to death, Lord Peter Baelish. So let's start off Let's back it up to, you know, who is this guy? Where did he come from? Let's talk about this origin story, you know?
This is interesting.
Yeah, Lord Peter Baelish came from the Fingers, right? And it's what is described to be four or five rocky peninsulas plagued by wind and rain and barren to all but the hardest of weeds. And they say it's only four fingers because the fifth one isn't quite...
Not big enough.
A finger, it's like a stub, it's like a nub.
Halfway there,
You know, like one of those like dwarf thumbs.
Almost an opposable thumb, not quite.
Yeah, nothing to brag about, but but he hails from there because of his great-grandfather, Bravosi Swordsman. All right? I'm getting a lot of this from fans, you know, ripped it from the books and put it on the Game of Thrones wiki, which is like, you know, the Holy Grail, is like the Bible.
It's the only way to get info.
His father fought in the War of the Ninepenny Kings. I love how, like...
Ninepennies,
Every generation has, like, a great war.
You don't even
want
to hear about the Tenpenny Kings.
No, the Tenpenny Kings.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Way too buddy.
The father fought well and basically fostered a friendship with House Tully. And because he fought so well, the house agreed to foster Peter Baelish at River Run. So that's where he kind of gets his first foot into the proverbial door.
Into the world, away from the Finger Islands.
Away from the Fingers, and that's where he gets his name, Littlefinger. It was described in the show, but he reaffirms it, that he was a small guy growing up, you know, he came from nothing.
He got picked on,
you know, I mean, we can all relate, you know? Like, I remember I was picked on a bit as a kid. I mean, everyone except the coolest kids, you know, but where are they now? No, we've all been picked on, we can relate to that. And here's a guy who kind of embraces that part of his backstory because he can't get away from it. He was dubbed Littlefinger by, I think it was...
Was it a Stark? I think it was...
It was Tully.
Oh, Tully. Well, Catelyn.
Catelyn's brother.
Yeah, Catelyn's brother. Yeah.
Edwin.
And that's where, like, that's how he fell for Catelyn, too, because she stood up for him. At least at some point. You know, he had an infatuation...
He did. He was in love. He was in love with Catelyn because he grew up with her at River Run, right?
Yeah.
He fell in love with this girl. And he was a guy who came from nothing. You know, he's growing up with this wonderful family. Falls in love with this girl.
Yeah.
And the sister though, Lyza, kind of took a liking to him. So that's kind of where that seed was planted.
Yeah. She was. It was kind of the opposite. Like he was all about Edmure. Catelyn, and then Lyza, you know, was like all about him. So of course that's Murphy's Law. You know, like it's never the one that you want that'll want you back. It's the one that you don't.
I know.
But that comes in to his advantage later, too.
It does. Because at first he's trying to woo Catelyn. She picks
the Stark. Brandon. Like, it was...
Brandon.
Right, Brandon.
And then Brandon was killed.
And she goes so then his brother. The next best.
The next
what
best.
What an
Eddard Stark.
What an awkward intro. And like, your brother was great. I mean, you seem okay.
And here's Peter, who's like, wait, the guy you were...
Yeah.
He's dead. Like, hey. I challenge you. That's not fair. You can't just because you're the younger brother. I mean, I challenge you. He falls quickly.
Yeah.
But I mean,
but still, that's
the
heart.
Balls on this guy.
That is heart.
That's true love.
And grit. I mean,
he's got grit.
Courage.
Yeah. He's got courage.
Like all these like great intangibles like for a guy that Catelyn should have seen. Like he stood up for, like he was like, I will fight for your honor. And I mean, he lost.
He lost pretty bad immediately.
Yeah, he probably should have died.
But he wears the scar proudly.
Does. Yeah.
And he decides, actually, I have a whole list of quotes here, and throughout the episode I'll kind of like rattle them off, and then we can, you know, you can tell me what you think about him. He said, you know what I learned losing that duel? I learned that I'll never win, not that way. That's their game, their rules. I'm not going to fight for them. I'm not going to fight them. I'm going to fuck them.
Right.
That's what I know. That's what I am. And only by admitting what we are can we get what we want.
That's right. And Baelish's game is just that in a nutshell. He doesn't fight. He's not a warrior. He plays mental games. His battlefield, he's like a chess player, the ultimate chess player. He's always a step ahead of his opponents. You know, it's very mental. So with him, like, he tried it once. All it took was once. He's a quick learner.
He's like, yeah, okay, all right.
That didn't work.
I can't fight him.
Did not work at all.
But, you know, I mean, here's a guy. He is the god of tits and wine. Mm-hmm. Or I guess you would say the lord of tits and gold.
Because, I mean, look at what he's done.
I mean, he took a step back after that fight. I mean, first of all, just to highlight, only by admitting what we are can we get what we want. Mm-hmm. I think there's so much wisdom in that line right there, because so many people out there are just trying to be who they're not, you know?
They're going for things that they're not talented at.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's like the societal norm. And in that culture, you know, fighting is obviously huge. I mean, wars and battles, you said it before, like all these, the Nine Penny Kings, there's all these battles everywhere.
Yeah.
It's like being a good warrior is a huge aspect of their society. But, I mean, if he's not a good warrior, that's where he steps back. And like a really wise man, you know, will learn from his mistakes, and boom, he made one, and he changed it for the best way possible, and he made something out of nothing. Start from the bottom.
Yeah, start from the bottom. Now he's
boom
here. Yeah, I mean, it's arguable, but not really. It's almost a fact that every single thing in the Game of Thrones show, Peter Baelish is responsible for in one way or another. He is the root of all the games of Thrones, and it all starts with after him losing that duel, he decided to get closer to
Lyza.
Yeah, right. And so Lyza was like, "All right." They actually they gave him a job as
what was it? She's married to the
his first major job was as customs officer in Gulltown, where he increased the port's revenues tenfold. So he did tenfold. He's just like, you know, he was always, you know, heralded as the man who could rub two gold dragons together to breed a third. Right? So he's really good with money. He's like, okay, I'm not a fighter, but I know how to get people to trust me. Mm-hmm. And to trust a person with your gold,
with his money.
I mean,
that's big.
That's as like deep of a trust as you can get. Your trust is only as deep as your pocket, right? So after he does a great job at Gulltown, it's very easy for Lyza to convince John, who is Hand of the King,
that he's trustworthy, he's capable of more.
He's capable of more. Yeah, so they're like, look what he did at Gulltown. So Lyza convinces John Arryn, her husband, and Hand of the King to Robert Baratheon to say, all right, let's let's bring him in as Master of Coin.
Yeah, put him on the big stage.
So now, here we got this guy who nobody thinks is a threat, right? Because he's just some small town guy, grew up in River Run with, you know, the Hand of the King's wife. He's just really good. He's like small guy. Yeah. He's got no real house name. House Baelish, Castle Baelish.
Yeah, there's like no.
Is like other, just really? This tiny little tower on one of the little nubs of the Finger Islands.
The tiniest little Finger Island. Yeah.
So small that it doesn't even have a maester or an official name. It's like, do you have a name for your house?
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, it's like,
I make my own.
Like, the Playboy Mansion has a name.
Yeah.
It's called the Playboy Mansion because it's badass, you know? It's like, huge, just noteworthy. My house doesn't have a name.
No.
Peter Baelish's house didn't have a name. Mm-hmm. But after he rises through the ranks by getting people to like him and to trust him, he finds himself at King's Landing, Master of Coin to Robert Baratheon's small council. Now, here we have this guy who came up from nothing, which is admirable, who was picked on but rose through adversity, which is admirable.
Yeah.
A loyal guy. Incredibly to what loyal. He loves.
Yeah.
I mean,
of course, like, he's going to play the field, like, he's going to take advantage of what he can because he's a smart guy. And like he said before, he's always trying to be a step ahead. So he's always going to take advantage of what he can.
Mm-hmm.
But he's always, like, doing it behind the scenes because, I don't know. People don't see him as a threat because he's not really physically a threat.
Yeah, and he doesn't really have a strong name. Right. He doesn't have an army. He doesn't have, you know, he's just a guy who's good with gold. So money. Let's keep him around. Yeah.
And that's huge.
And so now he's you know, just these humble beginnings all the way to one of the most powerful men in the small council in King's Landing.
Robert Baratheon. And look at where he started.
But he's not satisfied with that.
Right.
Nah, he's playing the long game. So, as most people know, the Game of Thrones starts off with Robert Baratheon going north to Winterfell to ask Ned Stark to be his Hand of the King.
That's right.
Right? That's the first domino.
That falls.
But what people soon realize after a few seasons later, they realize that it was actually Littlefinger who conspired with Lysa Arryn to kill Jon Arryn.
Yeah, and that...
And that, because of that, that was the first domino. Yeah. That's what started every single event that led. So let's kind of walk through a little bit of the seasons, right? And just give credit where credit's due, because you know you're watching this show and you're like this just random storyline of like maybe Brienne taking Jaime Lannister, you know, through up to King's Landing. Like you don't even really think like. Until two seasons later, Littlefinger's like, oh, yeah, that was me, too.
I had that planned all along.
Yeah, that was me.
I knew that would happen.
Yeah, oh, by the way. So, all right, so season one, the first, I guess, he started season one's kickoff, right?
Right.
But we've established that, so now let's move in. Now he blames Tyrion for Bran's fall by what? Lying about the dagger. Right. The dagger that eventually kills him.
The Castlevania dagger.
Yeah. So he says, oh, you know what? I lost that in a duel, or a joust, to Tyrion.
Yeah.
So that whole storyline with Catelyn Stark, you know, pursuing Tyrion Lannister, remember she captures him in the inn, like that whole storyline was because Littlefinger conspired. He spun his web.
Yeah.
Later on in season one, it's, you know, pretty sore subject. About how he betrayed Ned Stark, but
that is true.
He did say in a quote, "Distrusting me was the wisest thing you've done since you climbed off your horse."
Yeah,
straight up told the guy, "Listen, you're right not to trust me. Okay, you're right because I'm conspiring all the time."
He is, and he acknowledges.
He straight up owned it, and he told him.
Anytime he's about to screw someone over, he's so straightforward. It's almost stupid.
He's like.
He's like,
I'm telling you what.
Something bad's about to happen, and you can either do it or not. And even if they didn't, I bet he has a backup plan that he's going to be like, okay, I can still work with that.
He always does.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that. Because, well, first, he's the one who inspired Ned Stark to look into Joffrey Baratheon's history.
Right.
And he was the one who was like...
Discovered that.
You know, hey, man, you know, come on down to, you know, I'll show you... Like some stuff, man, you know, and so he's the one who basically got Ned Stark to discover those secrets. But he also told him, "Yo, you can be king. Let's do it. I'll help you."
Right. He literally laid it all out.
He laid it all out. Here's my plan. Mm-hmm. I'm totally conspiring to put you on the throne. Is that cool?
Right.
And Ned's like, "No, that's not cool. I'm totally honorable." Yeah, and there's a Littlefinger's like, "Okay, well, I guess."
But
the other way then is for you to. Not succeed.
Obviously.
You either succeed and get the power or you die. Or yeah. So he kind of, Littlefinger was kind of put between a rock and an honorable place, and he had to betray him.
Yeah, he
Moving
did.
Into season two, Peter Baelish is the one who got Catelyn to release Jaime. Remember when he brought the bones of Ned Stark?
He
saying,
did.
Like, here's a gift.
Like, it's a trade. Like, he's...
And he's like, I just want to let you know, Cersei said...
Plants a seed.
If you return Jaime, we'll return the girls, Arya and Sansa. You know, even though you lied about having Arya, but still.
Yeah.
He's the one who started that whole storyline of Catelyn going, all right, I'm going to release Jaime. Mm-hmm. Brienne, take him up, take him away.
And that launched something else huge. Brienne and Jaime, like, we haven't even,
basically started turmoil within the Stark camp and ultimately led to their demise.
Yeah.
And here's something that's looked over so often, because everyone's saying that Tyrion Lannister is the one who's was the true savior of the city for Battle of the Blackwater. Let's debate it, shall we?
Here we go.
Peter Baelish was the one who brokered the arrangement with the Tyrells to beg their heed to come in, and they were the ones who actually rode in with Tywin Lannister to save everybody at Battle at the Blackwater.
And they did. That is like Baelish, that is classic Baelish. Like tipping the tables of a battle in only a way that he can. And like you don't always see it at first, if anyone in that battle may not have. And he may never get that credit that he deserves.
He did though, because right after that he was named Lord of Harrenhal.
Right.
Remember? Because they're like, Tywin rode in on his horse, and Joffrey's like, you're the new hand of the king, protector of the Vale. Oh, by the way, Peter Baelish, thanks for saving us.
Yes.
You're the new Lord of Harrenhal. Okay, he's like, well, I should have to acquire some sons and some grandsons. And he always has something funny to say. Yeah, you know, remember that scene?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, so they gave him credit, and they gave him power. Yeah. So now, because Peter Baelish is Lord of Harrenhal, because he brokered the agreement to save the King's Landing,
right?
Now he's like, all right. I'm kind of a big deal now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like a big lord, which it comes with titles and lands and money.
Yeah.
By the way, he already has money because he started off.
Oh my gosh,
he started the brothels. He's the one who basically
so successful. It's silly.
He brought brothels to like the next level.
He did.
You know what I mean? Like he took it from the streets.
Yeah, they were
to like the palace. You know what I mean?
They were fancy. Like they appealed to the nobles. You know, they could go there and like
to the high class spenders.
Yeah. And that's like he was in their ear, and the brothel was like a way for him to spy too.
Exactly. So he acquired his wealth and his network of spies through his brothels.
All the same in one fell swoop.
Because like, he appreciates the value of a whore over the value of a ship.
Yeah.
Because whores don't sink.
That's true.
I mean, they go down on you.
Yeah, but they go down in one way, yeah.
Moving on. He also negotiated, the way that he brokered that agreement for the Tyrells to come in is because he negotiated Margaery to marry Joffrey.
That's right, which is another
huge step. He's the one who said, all right, so Renly's dead, but all is not lost. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We'll bring in the Tyrells. Margaery will now marry Joffrey and everything. And they're and like, Littlefinger, you're a genius. Yeah. Here's Harrenhal. Like, you saved us. You saved everything. Like,
how did they not think about he as a step Littlefinger, ahead of everyone else?
Yeah, he just hops in his little wagon wheel and teleports over to the next place that needs saving.
Boom,
I swear.
Let's
like,
go see what else I can
do. I admire this guy so much. Moving on to season three.
Mm-hmm.
He goes off after his newfound title of Lord of Harrenhal. He finally has enough clout to go off and marry Lyza.
Yeah, that's right.
Right?
Oh, man.
And at this point, he finally convinces Sansa to leave with him.
Sneaks her out.
But before that, he's the one who actually thwarts Varys.
He is, and that's like his arch rival too.
His arch rival, because Varys came in and he saw that, Peter was conspiring to take Sansa with him and stuff. So, he's basically the one who turned around and said, "All right, Varys, if you're going to thwart my plans, I'm going to do it my way."
That's right.
He went to Tywin and said, "Hey, guess what? We got Sansa, which is the the north. Sansa to the north." And we have Loras Tyrell.
Exactly.
Who's going to be, the Lord of Highgarden.
Yeah.
And basically Varys was trying to conspire to get Margaery or to get Sansa to marry Loras.
Yeah.
But Littlefinger came in and said, "Mm-mm. Tywin."
Got in his ear.
And so Littlefinger is responsible for Tywin arranging Sansa to marry Tyrion and Cersei to marry Loras, which is, of course, a whole nother can of worms.
It literally like opens up so much. Like all of these major storylines for the show, guess who's starting them all?
Peter Baelish.
Literally so much.
He puts the bay in Baelish, by the way. I mean, he's just like
one of like the most, he's the catalyst of the show, honestly.
He really is. At every turn, you can look at every major storyline and back it up to like, did this come about?
Yeah.
Who conspired this? Who whispered in whose ear to like make this decision happen?
Yeah.
All roads lead to Baelish.
Yeah. Like so far, like Peter Baelish, Azor Ahai is like a big name that's been thrown out there. Psh, that should be Peter Baelish. he's had way more influence on the show than anyone else so far.
Absolutely.
He started it, like, with the whole, I mean, the War of the Kings, all of it is traced back to
Baelish. All of it. All roads lead to Baelish, and we're not even done. We're only halfway through the season.
And we're like, what is this, season three?
We're just getting to the end of season three, which basically every major plot line, we've already kind of discussed how, but let's keep going. Yeah, season four, we find out that, well, you know, everyone's big moment at the Purple Wedding was, I mean, who do we have to thank? Can you guess?
Yeah, that's the one and only.
The one and only. Peter Baelish conspired with Olenna Tyrell to murder Joffrey, which gets that whole ball rolling, right?
Yeah.
He also finally helps Sansa escape King's Landing, brings her up to the Vale, and
reunites her with her aunt.
Reunites her and gets her out of King's Landing.
Yeah, it was just big.
Which is huge. It took like four seasons for her to get out of there. Finally, of course, I mean, who's going to do it? The guy who gets stuff done.
He gets things moving.
So he brings Sansa up, and then what does he do? Marries Lyza, and then kills her.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
Short-lived.
That was kind of, I mean, I think it was a little fast-paced. I don't think he was expecting to do it that soon, but like.
Things were progressing quickly.
Well, she was pretty crazy.
And he needed to react.
He was like, all right, this is going down.
Yeah.
I
mean, like we said, too, like, he's always got a plan. Like, if things happen, like, he's got a backup. And that obviously, you know, he had that in the back of his mind. The need came up, and he did it.
He knew.
He pulled the trigger. Yeah. I mean, he doesn't hesitate either.
Yeah, here's a guy, just like you said, he's a chess player.
Yeah.
He knows what two or three or four moves ahead he needs to make, but he knows every counter move, too.
Right. He usually thinks about the trickle effect, you know?
Yeah.
What would happen if he kills her, you know?
I do this. What are they going to do?
Yeah.
If they do that, what am I going to do? You know, and so for him to kill Lyza, I mean, I'm not sure if he was planning on doing that from the very beginning, or if... Because there was a chance that Sansa... You know, see, the thing about how Peter manipulates people into doing what he wants is he does not express his wants.
Right. He keeps those hidden, so they're kind of guessing. He's in their head at the same time. Like, they're thinking about his next move while he already knows.
Bam. Always keep your foes confused.
Mm-hmm.
If they are never certain who you are, what you want, they cannot know what you are like to do next.
That's it.
He straight up tells her,
yeah,
this is how I work.
And it is.
Like, and it's
exactly how it works.
And it's true. If you do not, if you're trying to get someone to do something that you want them to do, you can't express how it's what you want. You have to get them to want it. You have to get them to own the decision. You have to get them to, you know, do what you want without thinking that you have any power over them. That's how Peter Baelish does his work. That's how he works.
Yeah, he's like the shadow master.
One thinks that he has power over them.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have power. He's just some guy who is from the little finger.
But little do they know.
Ah.
He's orchestrating everything.
He's pulling all the strings.
All of them.
And that's the brilliance behind it, is he will just straight up say, listen, if it's not what you want, we don't have to do it.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, I have a choice.
And they're like, oh, yeah, I have a choice, wow, but maybe awesome. I should do it, you know,
yeah,
what you're saying.
I guess I'll do it.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I will... Let's go ahead and jump real quick into season five when he gives... This is something he catches a lot of flack for, and everyone refers to it as when they're like, oh, I hate Peter Baelish because...
It's a turning point, and that's one of the big reasons.
I mean, we've already covered how when he betrayed Ned, we said, no, he gave Ned a choice first.
Right.
So, I mean, we've established that. But the second thing that everyone always jumps on his back for is when he gives Sansa to the Boltons.
Right.
So his plan, ultimately, was to get Sansa back in Winterfell.
Yeah.
Right? Now, the Boltons had just betrayed the Starks, right?
Right.
Killed Robb and everyone at the Red Wedding.
And they took Winterfell.
And the Boltons have Winterfell.
Right.
But Littlefinger knows at this time that Lord Stannis is up at Castle Black preparing to go south.
Yeah.
Right? Littlefinger says, listen, Sansa, you need to get back in Winterfell. That's your home.
Mm-hmm.
And what do we do when we're given the chance, you know, to do something against the ones that hurt the ones we love? Right? He's straight up saying, listen, we can avenge your family.
Right.
We can put you back in Winterfell in a position to win Winterfell back and get your home back.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how we're going to do it. Stannis is going to come down. I'm going to bring the Lords of the Vale in.
Mm-hmm.
And Stannis is not interested in Winterfell. He's interested in the Iron Throne. Right. But he's going to be so happy because your father was true to his claim that he's going to award you Wardeness of the North.
Yeah, and Stannis, you know Stannis is true to that because he's a big picture guy too. You know, it's in his path. It's on his way.
He's on his way down.
He's got to go through Winterfell to get south.
So that's what he straight up tells her. He's like, listen, this is how it's going to go down.
Tells her everything.
And he says, say the word and we'll leave. But this is my plan.
What has to happen.
And so Sansa, by her own choice, says, all right. Obviously, the Boltons are not to be trusted. I mean, their banners are freaking flayed. They flay people. It's obvious that they're terrible people.
That they're like the worst people in Game of Thrones. Like the most notorious villain.
Everybody knows that. It's not like... It's a big surprise.
Yeah, he does it like every chance he gets.
You're probably going to get someone. He's
putting him on display.
He's pretty bad.
Yeah.
He's kind of like Joffrey, but worse.
Oh, yeah.
At least Joffrey only flayed like cats.
Yeah.
You know?
And he's like.
I mean, he was a monster, but at least he was a kid with like, you know, he was like little Dexter like.
And then the whole
tendencies,
Reek thing, too. I mean, Theon. Ramsay. Destroyed.
Oh, yeah. He's beyond, Ramsay's total monster. And, like, physically, by reputation, mentally. The Boltons, she knows that. So, to be honest, for Littlefinger to catch flack for that, he never wanted Sansa to get hurt.
Of course
he
not.
He loves her. She's the only thing left that reminds him of his one true love, Catelyn.
He tells her so straightforward. She's got to know what she's getting into. Yeah. But it's the only way.
This is a dangerous place, girl.
Yeah.
But.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But. Stannis is coming down. I'm going to come help. You're going to be liberated, and we're going to take the Boltons down.
Yeah.
And then guess what?
That's what he does! Exactly what he said happened.
So, yes, Sansa, you know, she went through some hard times with Ramsay, but that was to be expected, and I don't think it should be held over Littlefinger's head like that.
Not at all. I mean, everything that he said would happen, happened.
You know what?
Exactly as scripted.
You know what else he does in that same season, season 5? As he's being called back and forth between King's Landing and the North, because right now, Roose Bolton doesn't really trust him, Cersei doesn't really trust him, and yet they both do, because he's always playing everybody.
Yeah.
What Peter Baelish does is he gets Cersei and Loras both arrested by the High Sparrows.
Yes.
He's the one who conspired to do both sides.
Yeah.
So he goes in and he's like, Cersei, I have a gift for you. It's a boy, right? Mm-hmm. Basically saying, one of my male prostitutes slept with Loras and got a bunch of info from him. And so now I'm going to have my male prostitute,
get him in trouble, religiously.
Get him in trouble with the High Sparrow, the High Sept.
Which is big.
So Cersei's like, great, I don't have to marry Loras anymore.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That problem solved.
Yeah, Loras and Marjorie, great.
Saves the day again.
And because of Loras' testimony, Marjorie gets thrown in jail too.
Right.
Because.
And it kind of spirals.
Yeah, so basically, because of Peter Baelish, Marjorie and Loras are both in jail. But what does he do? He turns around to Olenna and says, listen, I'm going to give you what I just gave Cersei.
Mm-hmm. Starts a boy. A whole nother way.
And so what does he do? He gets Lansa Lannister to confess to Cersei's sins and gets Cersei thrown in jail.
Boom.
So because of Littlefinger, everyone's in jail now. Basically, all of season 6. Where everyone's in jail,
right?
Is because of him. Because Littlefinger put him there.
And he's like bouncing back between both places. He's doing so much.
Pulling the strings.
Just like going over here, checks it up, coming back over there. And just like traveling back and forth and just making waves for everything he does.
I love it.
Look at all of it.
He's basically, as we said, responsible for the entire show.
Yes.
And to bring that point real quick before we get into the last few seasons and a little bit more of our the finale, the mistrial of season 7, which we call for action.
Yes.
But before that, Littlefinger may be responsible for the Game of Thrones. But this week, we have someone who's responsible for our episode. Support for this podcast comes from ABC, presenting the new drama, The Good Doctor, from David Shore, the creator of House. A young doctor with autism and savant syndrome will use his extraordinary genius to save lives and challenge the skepticism of his colleagues. It's one of the fall's most anticipated new shows, starring Freddie Highmore and Richard Schiff, The Good Doctor. Premieres tonight with new episodes Monday at 10/9 Central on ABC. I'll check it out.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, anyone who wrote House.
Yeah.
Is like, The Good Doctor. I mean, I've been looking for one of those, like new, medical,
Right.
Like, I want to see someone, like, get sick in a really mysterious way and figure it out.
Have you seen Autumn Rush?
Uh-huh.
Oh, dude.
Is it good?
Yes, it's very good. And the actor that stars in Autumn Rush is in The Good Doctor.
Should be called The Great Doctor.
Good is just the enemy of great.
Yeah,
right. But, well,
so good. There you go, everyone. Thank you, NBC, for support, or ABC, for supporting The Good Doctor, with new episodes Monday at 10, 9 central on ABC. Mm-hmm. Getting back to Lord Peter Baelish. Littlefinger. So where do we leave off? We leave off with... So Littlefinger is the one who gets Cersei and Loras. And
they're all in jail.
And through, you know, Marjorie and everyone tries to...
All that's going on. A lot of shame.
Well, before we get to season 6, I would like to... say another quote. Mm-hmm. Just to illustrate some of the wisdom that comes out of this guy's mouth.
He's very quotable.
I mean, he's the one who... This is what he said to Tyrion Lannister. "We only make peace with our enemies, my lord. That's why it's called making peace." Mm-hmm. I mean, just... I guess you're right, Peter. Yeah, you're totally right. Like, I mean, you can't make peace with friends.
It's true.
Because in that moment of war, you're enemies.
Yeah.
You're always at peace with friends. You're always at war with enemies. That's just how, like, if you're going to go into semantics, that's how it works. And he's the one who is always at peace with everyone. No matter how much he's manipulated and lied and conspired.
Always got to bring it back up some way. You know, if he's not burning bridges, you know?
Yeah, he's always on top.
Yeah.
He literally put a knife to Ned Stark's throat.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, like, totally chill with the Stark.
Still.
Except for Jon Snow, but he's not really a Stark.
Yeah, that's all right.
To go back, just to this was said when Peter Baelish was referring to the act of killing Daenerys from across the sea. They were like, "Remember, Robert Baratheon wanted it to be done.
He wanted to assassinate her."
But I think it also it kind of alludes to other things, you know, including Lysa and just in life in general. Peter says, "When you find yourselves in bed with an ugly woman, best close your eyes and get it over with." How true.
Yeah.
Just and he's like, close your eyes, light a candle, blow it out.
Mm-hmm. Light it, then blow it out. Take a look first. You're like, okay, yeah, the candle's got to go out.
Just get it over with.
Yep.
Scrim
there.
The past is the past. Mm-hmm. The future is all that is worth discussing.
So he's an optimist.
He's moving. He's always about moving forward.
Yeah.
What's the next step? You know what? Yeah, this happened. But what can we do now?
Right.
Why discuss the past?
Exactly. I mean,
only laymen discuss the past. Anyone who's been paying attention already knows what happened in the past. The only thing worth discussing is future.
And I mean,
look at us discussing the past.
Obviously, but it needs to be discussed because it
needs to be.
Yeah,
we need to get to this mistrial.
If his head was in the past at all, he's got so much going on in the future. Like, he's got so many webs to spin, and he does. He does it brilliantly, honestly.
Ultimately,
yeah.
We know this, but he finally reveals it. I think in 6 or 7 that his goal is to sit on the Iron Throne with Sansa at his side.
Yeah,
that's what he wants. That's his dream.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? More power to him. I always thought, okay, here's a guy who... Actually, you know what? But after this next couple seasons, I'm going to ask you what you think could have or should have happened if Littlefinger ruled.
Oh, if he ruled?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But all right, just to jump in. So we left off season 5. He gets everyone arrested. Season 6, what does he do? He sits on the sideline, bides his time. And even after he says, "Yo, Sansa, I got this army, you could probably use it," Sansa's like, "No, I know that you like saved me and like everything, but like
she's being difficult.
No, I don't want your army." Mm-mm. And then of course, you know, she's like,
I kind of need it.
I could really use an army right now. Shoot. So what does she do? She writes a note secretly to Peter Baelish.
Sends that raven.
Hey, bae.
Flutters in.
Hey, bae, can you see?
And you know he's just waiting casually, just like, got his arm out. Oh, didn't expect this.
Oh.
Let's see what this was. Oh, she needs my armies. Ugh. He's like, they're already ready. They're already dressed.
You know what he does? He sends them.
Saves the day.
He saves the day. Yeah, the Battle of the Bastards would have been lost if it wasn't for Peter Littlefinger, Baelish.
They all owe him their lives.
Absolutely they owe him. He came in, swooped in, and saved the day. John and what thanks does he get?
They kill him.
I don't recall ever anyone thanking him.
Yeah, no thank you.
Hey, Peter Baelish, I know that like I totally dissed you, mm-hmm. but and then like I asked you to come and you did and you saved everybody from losing. And now because of you, the Starks are finally back in Winterfell. Yeah,
they're
finally
all where they belong.
After six seasons.
All the reunions, thanks to Baelish.
Nothing. No thanks. No, like, here's your reward. No lands and titles. No nothing.
Yeah, she was quick to send that.
Not even a thank you.
Quick to send that raven when she needed him.
Yeah. Yeah,
where's
exactly.
the thank you raven?
Yeah, where's the,
okay.
yeah, where's the thank you raven?
Yeah. Exactly. I've been waiting for that one. It's the one thing.
So Peter Baelish saves the day, saves the Starks. I mean, he's the reason why the Boltons lose the Battle of the Bastards. Mm-hmm. I mean, once again, an entire outcome of a war.
Exactly.
Hinges Decided on the Baelish. Action of one man, Peter Baelish.
That's right.
So leading into season 7, even though he didn't get a thank you
Nothing.
From anybody. He didn't get a warm reception from anyone.
Yeah, they're
Jon
they're
Snow,
all so
nobody.
Cold.
Jon Snow's literally just like, "Hey, listen, I just want to let you know, like, anything you need."
He choked him.
Yeah, choked him just like his dad did.
Yes,
Starks.
It's a Stark thing.
Quick tempers, yeah. Slow minds.
I know what to do with this. Grab him by the throat.
Yeah, I'll just choke him. Like,
yeah,
yeah. I just want to let you know, like, yeah, I totally. It's all right. It's cool. You don't have to thank me. I totally saved
yes,
you guys.
He could
have
been way cooler.
I just
want
to let you know that, like, while you're gone, like, I've. By the way, I'm the one who got Sansa out of
like
the capital.
Yeah. And
By the way, I'm the one who like is responsible for like everyone being
and
alive.
And Jon Snow, like he was like pretty quick to like forgive Theon. Remember when he like saw Theon, they get off the boat and he runs up to him and he's like, "The only reason I'm not killing you is because of what you did for my sister." Where's that thanks for Baelish? Okay, he did way more. Sure, he got her in that situation, but
got her out of it.
Yeah, he did.
Got everybody out of it.
Yeah.
Jon Snow wouldn't be allowed to choke Peter Baelish.
Yes.
If it wasn't for him sending in his armies.
He could have stood up on that hill with his armies, like, waited for, like, a lot of them to die, like, watching, like, Jon Snow, oh, yep, he's gone. All right, boys, save him. Go and save the rest of them.
Exactly, that's a very good point.
Yeah.
Theon. Yeah. Thanks, Theon. You know what? We're cool, man.
Yeah.
We're cool. But Peter Baelish, I know you saved my life and, you know, my sisters and everybody. Man. Screw you, man. I just want to say, like, I love... your sister, okay? That's why I did all this. He's like, get out of here!
He's so protective, yeah.
I was like, dude, gratitude, man. Yeah. Come on. Peter Baelish, I mean, he conspires, but he's upfront about that.
Yeah.
He plots, but he's like, yo, if you think you can plot better than me, go for it. Like, no one's stopping you.
Jon should know how bad dying is. I mean, he died.
Yeah.
And he saved him from dying a second time. Sure, I mean, maybe, I don't know if he could have come back a third, but... that was all avoided because of Baelish.
Baelish.
Yeah.
Saving the bay.
He did.
God, so that brings us into the mistrial of the century. Of every winter. Real quick, let's just talk about it real quick. Here's Peter Baelish, who's done everything right.
All of
it. He's plotted. He's schemed. He's up there in the north. He's chilling with the people that he saved. He's thinking, I'm good. You know, Sansa, she's my girl. She might not really trust me all the way, but hey, I taught her well. And all of a sudden, he's trying to, like, you know, manipulate the kids. Because he's like, you know what, kids? You obviously don't know. Like, this girl's a friggin' murderer.
Maybe that's part of it.
Arya Stark's like a weapon of death. Sansa doesn't really know what she's doing. Jon Snow's off fighting.
Doing whatever. He's mining dragon with glass.
Doing whatever. Obviously, these kids need a little guidance.
Exactly.
I'm going to sow the seeds of doubt and mistrust so that they can turn to me for the answers. And what does he get in return?
A knife to the throat.
He gets blindsided. Yeah. He gets blindsided. And I think this is very unfair. I don't think this was a good trial.
Not
in fact,
at all. It's fixed.
My notes here say that I call for a mistrial, sir.
Yes, absolutely. His rebuttal. Where's his rebuttal opportunity?
Where's his opportunity to call for a trial by combat?
Exactly.
Where's his opportunity to speak?
Nah.
He didn't even get to say anything. Nah. And by the way, the only evidence that's put against him is the word of some crippled, delusional boy.
Why do they trust him so much now? Yeah. He's been north of the wall for forever.
I think that's what annoyed me most about it.
Yeah.
Is that
it's like, well, he said.
He did everything so well.
Yeah.
But the only one who could bring him down was, like, the three-eyed raven who, like, knows everything about everything. Like...
yeah.
Okay, Three-Eyed Raven, like, where were you, like, at any other juncture of this story?
And you look at the testimonies. Okay, Sansa. Hers, obviously, is thrown out because of Liza. So whenever he killed Liza, the guys went to her in the council, and they're like, well, what did you see? She vouched for him. She lied. She lied to the council straight up.
Her entire testimony stricken
gone,
from the record.
Gone.
Because honestly, that bothered me too. Yeah. It's like, okay, Sansa, you had no problem covering for him mm-hmm. when he did that. Why? Because,
is that not treason?
Because it was out of your best interest yeah. that he did that.
Is that not treason on her for like lying to them?
Right?
Yeah.
They're just going to be like, so wait,
Two things.
Did she lie to us about Liza? Is that yeah. what he just said?
Treason and murder. Those are the two charges. She's a murderer too. Even though she killed a really bad person in Ramsay Bolton, hey, that's still killing. I mean,
Sansa, she betrayed Littlefinger. She yes. betrayed Peter Baelish. They didn't give him a chance to speak. No. They cut his throat.
They did.
Without a proper trial. If it wasn't for Bran, who decided, I'm going to go ahead and just spill all of his secrets. I mean, come on. Yeah. Honestly, if we dusted out every single person's closet in exactly. Game of Thrones, I think everybody would be put to death.
And yeah.
You know, everyone has skeletons in the closet. Yeah. Peter Baelish included.
Like, now they want to listen to Bran? Like, when they were out by the tree and Bran was telling Sansa about all this stuff, she seemed, oh, she just left. She's like, I've got some, got somewhere to be. Yeah. I got to get out of here. She didn't want to listen to him then, but then when he's talking to stuff she wants to hear about, oh, she's all about it, and it's viable proof. I mean,
this is my official call for a retrial of Lord Peter Baelish. Yeah. Even though he's dead, I call for justice.
Exactly.
I call for Sansa Stark and Arya Stark to come to the table mm-hmm. and to be put on trial for the wrongful exactly. murder.
Killing.
Of our bae.
Yeah.
Peter Littlefinger Baelish.
Well, I can't even imagine if he would have got to explain. If he would have got to explain himself, and
yeah,
he's
real quick. Yeah. If he would have got to explain himself, he would have saved everybody. He probably would have
brought up
brokered an agreement with the Night King.
Yes, because we all know. Okay,
he would have played the Night King like a fool.
So listen to this. I thought about this. I was like, oh my gosh. Okay, this is what he would have done possibly. So. He's a key negotiator. He can negotiate with the best of them. Night King also negotiates. Think about this. Craster.
Yeah, Craster's
key. Craster had a deal.
The White Walkers, they totally negotiated.
They did. They negotiated.
Peter Baelish would have been like, yo, let me take care of this.
Yes. Like, there's a window there for the negotiations. Okay, think about this. What if he did this? So Craster, you go up there and you say, Craster, okay, let's get a kid maybe with a disease like Grayscale. Let's see what that does with the White Walkers.
Bam.
Let's give him a poisoned baby.
The White Walkers would come and they take over. They would recede back after winter. Peter Baelish would be sitting on the Iron Throne. He would build up an army. He would defeat the Night King the next coming winter. Basically, Peter Baelish 2024, everybody. I mean,
Night King gets grayscale. He's gone.
I mean, come on. He's responsible for the entire show. He would have been responsible for everything that came later. Yeah. This guy, I can't say enough for Peter Baelish. And it's unfortunate that we have to wrap up now. But I will leave you with one more quote. Chaos isn't a pit. Chaos is a ladder. Many who try to climb it fail and never get to try again. The fall breaks them. And some are given a chance to climb. They refuse. They cling to the realm or the gods or love. Illusions. Only the ladder is real. The climb is all there is.
Bam.
Boom. Peter Littlefinger Baelish, much love. Thank you all for watching so much. AfterBuzz TV. Please give us a thumbs up if you like us, if you like Peter Baelish, or you like Game of Thrones. Subscribe so you don't miss another episode. We're back here every week. Next week, we'll have another host coming in to talk Game of Thrones with you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Vala Morghulis.
Vala Morghulis.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Vala Dohaeris.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.